words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. No man can serve two masters. We've all heard that since Sunday school. The very sound of the words brings to mind funny multicolored robes, sandals, and the bearded faces which we all associate with biblical figures. Yes, New Testament people had to decide whether they'd serve God or Caesar. Fortunately, we modern people don't have to make that choice. We've got the world pretty much under control. We can worship God on Sunday and go about our business during the rest of the week. Things are so much different, so much better now. You cannot serve both God and mammon. That's a little on the harsh side. Who's talking about serving mammon? All we want is a little bit in the way of creature comforts and security. We're just trying to provide for our own peace of mind. Accumulating a little here and there. Maybe making a few slight compromises in the interest of expediency. What harm can there be in that? Don't we have an obligation to provide for tomorrow? Be not anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on. Not just a minute. Aren't food and clothing pretty important? Is not life more than the food and the body more than raiment? You're starting to get the point? Food, clothing, and shelter may be legitimate in themselves. It's no crime to seek to provide them. Actually, it's part of our duty as Christian stewards. But they do not constitute the whole of life. It's very easy to get so caught up in the pursuit of the necessities of life. It's so easy to think that it's our own efforts that provide the necessities of life. In the rush of daily life, it's so easy to forget the source of all life, God. To remind us of the absurdity of our own efforts to provide for ourselves, our Lord uses two examples. Behold, the birds of the heaven, they sow not, neither do they reap. And your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not of much more value than they? I suppose birds are a good example of God providing. But if it were up to me, I would have chosen squirrels for this illustration. Squirrels seem to be one of the few animals that have fun. They run around all day, up and down trees. They jump from limb to limb. They chatter constantly. Oddly enough, they also manage to gather nuts and store them. But this food gathering doesn't seem to dominate their life. I doubt that squirrels suffer from ulcers or nervous breakdowns. They manage to live as God intended them to live. The second example our Lord uses is that of the lilies of the field. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God does so clothe the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Evidently the people of our Lord's time were just as dense as we are. In case they didn't get the point of the parable, Jesus added a further explanation that's a little on the blunt side. Be ye not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That really seems a bit extreme, doesn't it? Is our Lord really saying that we should spend all our time in prayer and contemplation and the necessities of life will just come to us? Does it mean we're supposed to live like beggars and monks? No. What our Lord is calling us to is a proper perspective on our lives. If we're doing what God wants us to do, if we're where God has called us to be, we need not be overly anxious about the necessities of life. That means that whether God has called us to be an apostle wandering the Middle East like St. Paul, has put us on a farm in the middle of the cotton belt, or put us at work in a machine in the factory, or placed us in a home as a mother and wife, God cares about us, knows what we need, and will provide for us. If tomorrow that factory closes, that farm is flooded, or that home is torn apart, God still cares about us and will provide for us. What we need to do, what today's gospel tells us quite bluntly to do, is seek ye first his kingdom. When we seek God, When we seek to know and do His will, the rest of our life will fall into place. If first and foremost in our mind is a summary of the law which you heard at the beginning of this service, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. If this is the way we try to live, we will find our lives that much easier and fulfilling. If in times of trouble and despair, we resort to prayer and the sacraments instead of worry, anxiety, and redoubling our own vain efforts, we will find the way that much more fruitful. That does not mean that everything will be easy or smooth, but it does mean that we will be spared unnecessary and fruitless anguish, worrying about things we cannot control or influence. If you come away with nothing else from this paltry effort at a sermon, I hope that the next time you start to become overcome by anxiety from mounting bills and pressures at home or at work, you'll stop and think of the reminder and warning in today's gospel. Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his stature? Let us pray with today's colleague that God will keep us from all things hurtful, particularly the foolishness of relying on our own will and efforts instead of God's, and will lead us to all things profitable to our salvation, specifically the knowledge and love of God. Amen. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be all praise, Lord, honor, glory, and dominion, now and forever, amen. World without end. Amen. Amen.